Hey everyone, if you listen to our season 14 finale, you know that we are taking a small break from our regular episodes while my co-host Leah welcomes her baby girl into the world. So in the meantime, we will be delivering a handful of Hasty History episodes. If you are not familiar with Hasty Histories, these are bonus episodes that we are calling No Nonsense, Crash Course, Cram Session, History Lessons. So there will be no cocktail segment, no ads, and no bloopers. This is just a quick download of some heavy history content. If you enjoy longer podcast episodes with lots of back and forth conversation over unique cocktails, we recommend checking out our regular hashtag history episodes, which drop weekly during our regular seasons on our regular feed. But as for now, let's get to this week's topic. This week, we will be discussing the Kentucky meat shower. Remember how I mentioned a few weeks ago how sometimes historical events are given random, vague names, and sometimes they're not? This is definitely one of those cases that is as clear and descriptive as can be, because the Kentucky meat shower refers to an incident that occurred on March 3rd, 1876, near Olympia Springs, Kentucky, in which pieces of what was believed to be red meat quite literally fell from the sky. What? We have to dive right into this one because you all need to hear the wild, confusing, disgusting, and mysterious details. This incident begins with an unnamed woman, because why would history document the woman's name? Am I right? Rather, all we know her as the wife of a farmer named Alan Crouch. This woman was outside of their home making soap when all of a sudden meat, quote, which looked like beef,
I smell like beef,
unquote, began falling all around her. Yuck. The following day, a number of people investigated the meat droppings, I guess we will call them, including a Mr. Harrison Gill, who, according to the New York Times, was, quote, unquestionable, unquote. So I guess when Harrison Gill says meat fell from the sky, you believe him. According to Gill, he stated that he found pieces of meat not only on the ground, but also sticking out of fences. Blech. He stated that these pieces of meat were generally around 2 inches by 2 inches, but that one piece in particular was about 4 inches by 4 inches. Ugh, this is so gross. Maybe even more gross, some of those investigators went so far as to taste the mysterious pieces and reported that it did indeed taste like, quote, either venison or mutton, unquote. Okay, this is where I am now going to need a break to settle my stomach. Whew. All right, let's get back to it. A piece of the mystery meat was sent off to a man named Leopold Brandeis, who 3 months later returned with his analysis and conclusion of the great meat mystery. He stated that the meat was not actually meat at all. Rather, Brandeis determined that the mysterious substances were actually nostoc, a type of cyanobacteria known for forming a protective gelatinous film over it when it rains. Think of it like star jelly that can be found on the grass. The idea was that this bacteria was already on the ground, but that when it started to rain, the moisture made the bacteria expand, causing it to look filmy and meaty. But wait, rain? Who said anything about rain? Brandeis also sent the samples on to Dr. Alan McLean Hamilton of the Newark Scientific Association, who said instead that the meat-like substance was indeed meat. More specifically, lung tissue from either a horse or a human baby. Secondary scientists also confirmed that the mystery meat did indeed appear to be lung tissue. So, which is it? The best theory for this whole mystery was written by Dr. L. D. Kostenbein, who wrote in 1876 that the samples were indeed meat, and that the best bet as to how they ended up on the ground in front of the Crouch residence was because vultures had vomited it up. Ugh. As if this episode couldn't get any more disgusting, we will now be discussing vulture vomit. I never thought I would say those words. When Kostenbein examined the mystery meat, he found it to have a rancid smell and stated, quote, "The only plausible theory explanatory of the anomalous shower appears to me to be that suggested by the old Ohio farmer. The disgorgement of such vultures that were sailing over the spot from their immense height, the particles were scattered by the prevailing wind over the ground," unquote. The particular vultures that are local to Kentucky are known to vomit in self-defense. Usually they vomit on whatever or whomever is pestering them, but there are also theories that they sometimes vomit as a means of making themselves light enough to fly. Who can really say? The mystery of the mystery meat truly continues to be a bit of a mystery. Thank you all, as always, for listening to another episode of Hasty History. Like I mentioned at the beginning, we encourage you to check out some of our full-length episodes of Hashtag History, which we drop weekly during our regular seasons. Thank you so very much to my amazing, incredible husband for editing this episode. If you have suggestions for more Hasty History topics, please send them our way at #history1865@gmail.com or on our website at #history-pod.com. We want to tailor these Hasty History episodes to you, so be sure to drop us a line on any topic you love or want to learn more about. Make sure also to follow us on Instagram at #history_podcast, where we post lots of extras, including behind the scenes of recording, drink recipes, and so much more. You can also check us out online at #history-pod.com for all sources used to put together this episode. Thank you all so much. Stay safe out there, and we will catch you next time.